Good evening. I am Pastor Carlene Nisley. I'm the lead pastor at New Vision Fellowship in Hillsboro. I want to thank you for joining us this evening. We meet every Saturday night at 6 p.m. for our weekly worship services. And we normally meet together in a building, and we enjoy each other's company as we worship together. But during this time of social distancing, we are meeting over the internet. So whether you're a regular attender, whether you just happened upon us on the internet, or whether you're a friend of someone who asked you to check us out, I want to welcome you this evening. Our worship service will be comprised of a time of worshiping through the Word, where we'll have a sermon and some teaching. We'll also be worshiping through giving, where we'll talk a little bit about our resources, ways that we can put our faith to action, as well as talking about how important it is to be in communication with God through prayer and how that becomes a way of worshiping through giving. And then we'll have a time of worshiping through response. I want you to just be able to sit back and enjoy this service this evening. Go ahead and take that deep breath that you might need to take. Whether you've had a hectic day or whether you've had a day that feels like it lasts forever, I completely understand that there's both of those kinds of days right now during this unprecedented time of living in the world. You are right now on my front porch, and I understand that I will be in your homes. So let's just spend some time with God and with each other in this very unconventional way, knowing though that we are never alone, we are never really apart, because we have the Holy Spirit that's bringing us together and binding us together in unity. My hope and prayer is that you will enjoy this evening and that it will fill you up as you worship with us at New Vision. God bless you. Welcome to the time in our worship service where we worship through the Word. This is a time where I bring you a sermon and some maybe challenges to apply what we've been reading in the Bible to our life today. We have been reading through the Bible in a year at New Vision. We started it the 1st of January, and we are just finishing the Gospel of Luke and going into the book of Acts, and that's what we've been reading this last year. We are following a plan that's a Monday through Friday reading plan. If you have not started reading with us yet, I highly encourage you to become involved. That is a way that we are remaining community. I believe that God knew very well that we would be distanced from each other, but by reading through the Bible together, we literally are staying on the same page. As we might not be together in person, but we are together in the Spirit and we are together in Scripture. And then we gather here on Saturday night to discuss part of what we've read and to continue fellowshipping in the Spirit and in the ways that Jesus wants to communicate to us and actually use us and our church, even though this time in our lives is not like anything we've ever lived through before. This week started with Easter on Sunday. And then our reading was finishing up Luke, which is really thought of as part one of a two-part story, because then we were taken to the book of Acts. And that was also written by Luke. And what we find as we read Luke and then Acts is that in the Gospel of Luke, we're hearing Luke tell the story after he has talked to eyewitnesses. He's reflecting on the story that he's been told. Now, Luke is really my kind of writer. He says what some say in few words, in a whole lot more words than maybe are needed, but I love it. I love the extra use of words, and some of you may understand that if you know me at all. And in Acts, what we find is that initially he continues as an observer, as someone telling of a story that he's been told. And as we read through it, we're going to find Luke as a participant. So Luke was a Gentile. He was not a Jew. And he became a believer as a Gentile. And we see that as the gospel message is shared throughout the book of Acts, we see that Luke gets to be involved in the carrying out of that mission. So it's a cool transformation, and I encourage you to watch for that. That's what I love about the Bible. There's always new things that we can discover. And what I also like about us being able to come together in church is that we can explore some of these things about Scripture a little more deeply and a little more intensely. So if you noticed, if you read Luke, or if you're going to this, maybe tomorrow, you'll feel like reading, I would just suggest you read Luke 24 and Acts 1, if nothing else. Because what you're going to find is that there's a conclusion to the story in Luke that's kind of brief, especially where Jesus ascends to heaven. It's just 3 verses. And then when you read it in Acts, there's a bit more detail. And he recaps the story, and then he adds a little bit more to it. For instance, we find out in Acts that Jesus actually was alive in his resurrected body for 40 days after the crucifixion, and that he spent time with the disciples over those 40 days. And in Luke, we don't get that kind of detail. It kind of is like some of the Netflix shows that I know I've been binging on, that in between seasons, you can watch a recap of what happened in the previous season so that you can recall the things that you need to go on with the storyline. Or you could choose to skip the recap. And that's something that we get to do because we're watching Netflix and we can binge season after season after season, right? Let me tell you something. In the olden days, we couldn't do that. We had to wait for months between one season to the next. So the recap was very, very important so that you could remember what had happened when they left you right there at a cliffhanger. And you finally got to watch it like 4 months later when the new season came out. Some of you guys remember those olden days, I know. At any rate, what we have with Luke is telling the story of this time after Jesus rose from the dead. And on Tuesday evening, because I show up here on Facebook Live on Tuesdays, so it's like Tuesday night live. And then on Thursday, Pastor Christine is here for Thursday night live. But on Tuesday night live this last week, I talked about the two people who were walking to Emmaus. And they had been witnesses of Jesus' crucifixion. They had hung out with the disciples for the weekend. And they actually stayed clear up through the women going and finding an empty tomb and coming back and talking about it. And then they left and they started back home to the town they came from, which was called Emmaus. And on the way, someone came up beside them and started walking with them and asked what they were talking about. And they said, "We're talking about that crucifixion of Jesus, that Nazarene who we thought might be the Messiah. And turned out he wasn't because he died. And so, you know, we are disappointed and we'll just wait and see if he shows up someday because this guy certainly wasn't it." And so Jesus walked along with them and they got to Emmaus and they invited Jesus to stay and have a meal with them. And it wasn't until Jesus broke the bread that he revealed himself to them and said, you know, I have shown you through the scriptures. God has shown you for years and years through the study that you should have been doing of the scriptures that this was exactly what was going to have to happen to the Messiah. But you missed the signs. You missed what Moses said. You missed what the prophets said. You missed all that was foretold about me. And had you been paying attention to your scripture and learning from it, rather than being downcast and thinking all was lost, you would be knowing that indeed all was being fulfilled. So these two from Emmaus hurried back to Jerusalem. It was about 7 miles because right after Jesus broke the bread and revealed himself, he vanished. And we pick up in Luke 24 at verse 35. And what we read is this. Then the two from Emmaus told their story. So they ran back to Jerusalem to the upper room where the disciples were still hanging out. They basically were told to stay put for a while. And they were actually choosing to stay put because they were so scared for their lives. Jesus had just been killed. They knew they were associated with them. So they were kind of hiding out in an upper room. And these people from Emmaus knew right where to find them again. So let me start again in verse 35. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Jesus was suddenly standing there among them. In some of the Gospels, it says Jesus appeared to them without coming through a door. Peace be with you, he said. Peace be with you. Can you imagine Jesus just suddenly appearing? And the first thing he says to you is, peace be with you. That gives me a great deal of calm right now when I think about that. But let's go back and read what it says. It says the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. Why are you frightened? He asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Woo! That mixture of disbelief and joy and wonder. Wow. Then he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Then he said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses to all of these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. But stay here in the city? I have never seen those words as I saw it reading this week. Oh my gosh, how can we relate any more to what the disciples were told than in those five words: remain here in the city. Stay here in the city. Hey, stay in your houses. This is what you're told to do. Jesus told his disciples to stay. And I think it would have been more of an inclination for those of us who are human beings with our own minds and our own agendas, for them to think, we have to run out and tell everyone right now. And they would have ended up doing that under their own power. Rather, Jesus said, wait, wait until the Holy Spirit comes. The first thing that I want us to think about today is the fact that there is power in our stories. The two that came from Emmaus, they were telling a powerful story. Jesus met with us. He broke bread with us. And he revealed himself to us. They were in the middle of that story when Jesus appeared. Can you imagine Jesus suddenly being among us? Suddenly, if he just was in the room with you, right where you're watching this sermon. Oh, wait, he is! That's what we celebrated last week at Easter, the fact that Jesus is alive. Not that he was alive and he appeared to disciples 2,000 years ago. Not that he lived for 40 days after crucifixion, but hey, then he went to heaven and he's nowhere to be found. No, Jesus is right there with you right now. He has been with you for this last 4+ weeks that we have been quarantining in our houses, staying home and staying safe, being compassionate to our fellow human beings so that we're not spreading this virus that is taking lives, taking family members, taking loved ones. Jesus is right here in our midst. The other thing that even though the disciples were told to wait, as we read in the book of Acts, because remember, Luke kind of finishes the story for now, but there's a next season, a second part, where Acts picks up and goes into greater detail. And what we find out is that the disciples spend their time at the temple and in Jerusalem, that they are waiting and anticipating what God has for them. That becomes part of the story. How they waited, how they believed, how they understood the scripture, and how much it speaks to us about how important it is to read the scripture, to know the scriptures, to understand the scriptures. They're not boring stories. They are filled with human life, human trials, human victories, human tragedies. Slavery to freedom, to exile, to loss of hope, to ecstatic hope, to conviction and standing for something that we know is just so important for everyone to hear, and hope and love and peace. Jesus came into the disciples' presence. And the first words to them were, peace be with you. Jesus is saying that to us now. And we are not always feeling peaceful these days. And I think that's absolutely fine because we see it modeled by the disciples. They were frightened. In fact, they misunderstood who Jesus was completely when he showed up in that room. They thought it was a ghost. And what did Jesus do? He didn't suddenly say, okay, done with you guys. I lived with you. I died for you. I've shown you. I'm back again. I'm out of here. He didn't do that, and he doesn't do it with us. When we get confused and frightened and scared and wonder where he is and wonder if he is, what did he do? He made himself real. He said, "Feel my hands, feel my feet. Look at them. I still have the marks. The marks were the nails that you saw hammered through my hands and feet. Those are still here." And then it was like, if you don't believe that, then listen to this. "Do you have anything for me to eat?" How much more human is that? Okay, not only have I been binge watching Netflix, of course, in between my scripture reading, which I prioritize, okay? My time with God is still the most important thing in my life. But it's still okay to have other things happening in our lives and to be living the best we can in this time of quarantine. So not only am I binge watching, but I'm also sometimes binge eating. I feel a little bit like I've trained myself now in the same way I've trained my dogs, that if they come in when I use a clicker, they get a treat. Well, now I feel like every time I sit down to watch TV, it's sort of like that clicker for me, and I suddenly just get this urge that I need to eat. Well, some of you can relate to that. And it's actually, I think, a pretty common phenomenon right now, because it's called coping with situations that are new and unusual for us. But it makes us real and human, doesn't it? Do I seem a little more human to you right now to confess that I'm binge watching Netflix and I'm doing that while eating peanut M&Ms and sometimes an orange? But what Jesus did was show how truly human he still was, is, by saying, "Do you have something for me to eat?" And then he ate and he let them watch. That was so kind and loving of him to say, "Here I am, peace be with you. I am bringing you peace." And they probably could have just fallen at his feet and been like, "We need peace. We've been so scared, and you're now here with us, Jesus." But that wasn't their response. And it's okay if it's not our first response. If we doubt and question and we need some extra assurance, he's there to give it to us. And then he went on and he spoke to them. And he enlightened them to the scriptures. And then he said, "The Holy Spirit is going to come. So I want you to wait. I want you to wait until you receive the Holy Spirit, and then you're going to know what to do next, because you're going to have my Spirit living in you, and we're going to be partnering in this thing called the mission of Jesus Christ." And that's where we come in. Those of us who have invited Jesus to be our Savior have the Holy Spirit within us. And we have a charge to partner with him in his plans and purposes, in sharing the story of what Jesus has done for us. We get to read a story that Luke wrote, because he wrote that based on hearing other people's stories about Jesus. Stories about Jesus and how they've impacted our life are powerful. And right now, as we are social distancing, is a perfect time to share our stories. So I have four things to ask of you today to do until we get back together next Saturday. One thing I would like you to do is practice your story. Now, practicing your story might mean that you tell it to your dog. It might mean that you stand in front of a mirror and that you tell your story to yourself. "This is what my life was like, and then Jesus came into it." It might even be, "This was how I felt this morning, And then I was reminded that Jesus is here with me and that he's actually speaking, peace be with you. And I realized I have peace. Peace way down in the very depths of my soul that I haven't actually tapped into for a while. It might be that you share your story with your spouse, if you're married, with your kids, whoever you're quarantining with. Practice your story. And then the next thing I would like you to do is write down your story. Make it real. Luke took stories and he wrote them down in his gospel. And then in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, he wrote down the stories and then they started becoming his story and he continued to write those. So write down your story, or a portion of your story, a chapter, a part. And then what I would like you to do, the third thing, is I would like you to tell your story to a friend. And this friend, you might want to call on the phone, you might want to email your story to them after you have written it. You can tell them your pastor gave you a challenge to write your story and share it with a friend. And you chose them because they're part of your story. And they are part of your story. Each person we meet becomes a part of our story. And it's not happenstance. It's because God has a plan for all of our lives. And then here's the last thing that I'd like you to do. The challenge I have for you is to post your story on whatever social media you want to post it on. Instagram, Facebook, if you have a YouTube channel, go ahead and do it there. I don't know about TikTok and Snapchat. I don't know if you can actually post stories there, but if that's where you do your social interaction, or if you tweet, put your story on your chosen favorite form of social media. That's going to stretch you a little bit. People maybe don't know you're a Christian. Share your story. It changed the world when Jesus' story was shared by the two people who he encountered on the road to Emmaus. It changed the story of the disciples when Jesus appeared to them. And it changed the stories of all of us when the Holy Spirit came as promised on the day of Pentecost. And our stories continue to have the power to change the world. We are called to change the world, even in this time of social distancing, even in this time of quarantine, even as we are doing our part to show compassion, what we want to also do is be able to enter into people's lives and share the same message that Jesus shared with his disciples and with us. Peace be with you. Will you join me in prayer? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story that you share with us in the Bible, the many stories, and the way that you teach us about life. Teach us about who you are. Teach us about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the different ways that you, God, reach into our lives, directing our lives, giving us peace, showing us what it means to love in amazing, unconditional ways. Heavenly Father, help us to formulate our stories this week, to recognize that our story is powerful, but to also recognize that it is up to us to share it and up to you then to use it, to make it be the seeds that are planted that takes sprout in people's lives so that they can more fully understand who Jesus is and that you can be more fully relatable to the people who do not yet know you. And for those who do know you and have gotten frightened and scared, help us, Lord, through our stories to bring the message of peace, to direct people back to hope and that love that burns eternally. God, thank you for being in our lives and for being in our midst, for the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit that equip us to share a story and then know that you will take care of the outcome. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Thanks for joining me for this time of worshiping through the Word. I just want to speak to anyone who doesn't have a story that includes Jesus yet and let you know that you can. It's very, very simple. Jesus is not hard to find. In fact, he's the reason that you're watching this right now. His Holy Spirit actually works in our lives before we confess that we believe he's the Son of God and that he died to save us for our sins. It's as simple as that. If you do not yet have that relationship and that assurance and that peace, you can have it right now by just simply saying, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, that you died for my sins. I confess to you right now that I have sinned, that I have done wrong, and I take you at your word where you say that you forgive all who have sinned. And I accept your gift of eternal life, of freedom, of peace, and of hope. And I accept your gift of the Holy Spirit. If you made that decision, you have a story to tell. And I look forward to hearing it. God bless you. We are now going to be worshiping through giving. And that has a couple of different meanings here at New Vision. One is what you would probably expect, that we give of our tithes and our offerings, that we understand that everything that we have comes from God, and that he asks us to give a portion back so that his work can continue, so that his plans and purposes can be carried out through his body, through his church. And as a church, we are poised to assist where needs exist. We do that oftentimes through helping people when they get into financial situations that they just need a little extra help with. But we also do that through partnering with organizations like Tualatin Valley Gleaners Association, who is right now giving away boxes of food to people who are in need. They work year-round serving the underserved in Washington County. But right now, there is certainly an uptick in the number of people who are in need of food. So literally on Saturdays before church, many of us gather together, and this is giving through labor. Literally, our hands and feet are working to load food boxes and give that food away into the cars of the people who drive through at very safe social distances. We also donate food as is needed or pay storage for the gleaners when that is a need that comes up. The other way that we give through worship at New Vision is through prayer. We really believe in prayer. We know that prayer changes things. And we also know that prayer is that thing that builds our relationship with God so much. And he loves spending time with us. That is worship when we do so. We also recognize that there's needs and that sometimes it's hard to just pray by yourself, and that it helps to know that others are praying with you. So we have a very dedicated group of prayer intercessors who meet every Sunday. Now we're meeting on Zoom. Normally we're meeting in a home, but right now it's through Zoom meetings. And we pray for the prayer requests that we receive each week. And then throughout the week, the group of intercessors continue lifting those prayers. So if you have a prayer request, you can also share that with us. To share your tithes and offerings, you can go to our website, which is newvisionpeople.org. And on that website, there is a giving tab. You can also find our address there if you want to mail something to us. But let me give that to you now as well. It's New Vision Fellowship, P.O. Box 5815, Aloha, Oregon 97006. Now, the way you can get your prayer requests to us is twofold as well. You can go to our website again and go to the Contact Us form, and you can fill that out with your prayer request. Or you can send them by email to churchoffice@vision1.org. That's churchoffice, one word, vision1.org. Now, I'm the one who gets all of this, whether it is through the church office email or the Contact Us information on the website. So if you have a prayer request that you prefer to keep confidential and would just like me to know about it and be lifting it up with you to God, just note it on either one of those ways of corresponding, and I will be praying for you. Otherwise, you can know and be assured that you are not alone in your prayers, that we will be praying with you. Will you join me now in prayer? Heavenly Father, we recognize the abundance with which you bless us. We thank you, Lord, for sharing all of your wealth and all of your goodness with us. And I pray, God, that your work will continue to be able to be done to meet the needs around the world. I pray, Lord God, that you will also hear the prayers of your people and that you will answer. You tell us, God, that if your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray, that you will hear our prayers and heal our land. And we pray that, and we know that to be true because it is in your word. We pray that in Jesus' name, amen.